Hello, and welcome to the new Pedagodzilla On Tour podcast feed. You join us now for our mini-series, recorded at Playful Learning 2023, on fabulous formative failures and the Danish movement Pissedaleg Undervisning, or Piss Poor Teaching. If you want to listen to our other content of understanding pedagogic theories through the lens of pop culture, then head on over to pedagodzilla.com, where you can find our entire back catalogue of episodes and subscribe to this and our main podcast feed. And over now to Playful Learning 2023 and our discussions on fabulous formative failures and piss poor teaching.
Okay, and here we are. We're back with Pedagodzilla. I'm getting hang of it now. That's really good. I even pressed the record button. So we've got... I will let him introduce himself. So we're doing more fabulous failures. And so I'm Mark Childs. This is Pedagodzilla. And you've heard everything I've got to say about myself already several times before. But we have a guest today is Andy. Do you want to tell us about yourself, Andy?
Yeah, I'm Andy Walsh. I'm obviously a spectacular failure. What am I?
Come on. You're going to say you're a spectacular failure and then you're going to list all your achievements.
Well, yeah, for my sins, I'm a librarian by trade, but I am a national teaching fellow.
There we go.
Various other badges and awards and whatnot that I won't waffle on about.
A regular conference goer at the Playful Learning Conference. Have you been to all of them?
Yeah, I've been to all of them and been to lots of the Playful Learning Association meetings as well.
Because you hosted the one that we went to in Huddersfield earlier in the year, which is really good. And you've just finished a session at the conference. Do you want to tell us about what that session was?
Yeah, so one of the many things I get distracted with is digging out old fairy tales. So we brought the fairy tale creatures together with playful learning and enabling playfulness to happen. So we all made some playful fairy tale creatures and thought about what might help them to thrive and to sort of emerge out into the world instead of being stamped out like the modern society tends to do.
So, yeah, that's the bit that I was thinking, where's he going with this when you did the whole thing? Because it's like, let's come up with a metaphor for sort of something that's playful and encapsulate that. And then the whole, how do you then help that creature survive as a metaphor for how you promulgate playfulness, that kind of closed that circle there. So that was really good to go, oh, yeah, it would work like that.
Yeah, and I was quite surprised that wasn't a failure, actually.
Because
I've never done that before, I didn't know whether that would actually tie together with something more generic than the playful creatures, but it did seem to work, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. A lot of us focused on creatures that kind of promoted playfulness. It's like overcoming barriers and things like that. So that seems to be where people's minds are a bit at the moment. Anyway, sorry. So let's not talk about your successes, fumer though they may be. Because we were saying about it, go, where would I start? So have you, there's one that you identified particularly that was a formative failure. Do you want to tell us about that? So the sort of details, the specifics of that.
Yeah, so... this was a struggle to think of because I think so many things I do fail, or fail in part at least, and trying to pick something out. So thinking about this sort of 5 minutes beforehand, and probably a nice one is where so many years ago now, I was doing a lot of game-based learning, using a lot of games with students. So this one was probably, because I can't remember the specifics of the game I was using, probably something to do with search strategy. So I had a game to do with them building a search strategy and thinking of different search terms they could use, rather than me doing it in a too formal way, stood at the front, telling them they played a game.
Yeah.
And I'd done this before with I think, education students, and it worked really well. Did it with some nursing students, and it worked really well. And I tried it with some computing students. And it was probably my worst teaching failure ever.
What happened?
They looked at me like I had two heads. It was like, why is this person doing this to us? We're here to fall asleep and listen to your drone on. You know, why would you inflict this pain of a game.
Oh, having to interact, basically.
Yeah, having to interact, having to think of things themselves rather than passively sit back and just, well, I was going to say absorb, probably not absorb.
No, but just be passive in it.
Yeah.
Why do you think that was? Because in our group of three, because you put us into groups of two or three, so building our Flutterby, one of the other people in my group said that she'd had the most successful stuff with computer scientists, that they really did want to play. So why do you think it was that sort of meant that that fell apart when you tried it with them? Just was that their experience of education up to that point was passive?
Yeah, I think there was two things going on. So their experience was they'd have lectures, which could include library lectures, like me coming in, and them just passively receiving. And then they'd have workshops where they'd sit on their own behind a computer and do something.
So it was doing stuff with other people as well that was part of it. So what did you get them doing? Was it like a series of tasks or to find things on
It was a fairly harmless sort of paper-based game to start off with, because we were in a classroom, not in a lab.
Okay.
I can't even remember the details of it. It's just one of many games that I did at the time. I thought it was fairly easy, and other people had received it quite well as well. But part of the reason it went wrong is that it was completely out of their expected situations. They just didn't expect to be put in that situation. So it just clashed with their entire thought of what education was.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. And so they'd never, so because they'd never done anything interactive, that's where it all started to break down. So, what did you learn from that then?
So, as I said, I was doing lots of game based stuff there. And I think that's one of the things that triggered off my thoughts that it was actually the play that was more important. So, at the time, I was focusing on, I'd prepare these activities with rules to follow, and that was the important bit, that they'd go through those activities in this very rule-based, very sort of strongly formed game type kit that I'd send out. And it really helped me think that, in fact, that's probably why it failed, because they were expecting to do that sort of thing, but I didn't have enough play. I didn't have enough encouragement to feel playful in there for them to adapt to it.
So you needed to create that context of playfulness beforehand and say, this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it. Yeah. So in the session this morning, it was you told us a little fairy tale about a waff.
Yeah.
And then, obviously it's a little bit easier here because we're all coming in with that, we're going to play something head on. But if you didn't, then you'd have to sort of set up something around, well, we're doing play, we're creating a game, this is how we're doing it, you work together, and I suppose also be a bit adaptable in case they're not getting it.
Yeah, exactly. So this morning I had a very vague plan of what we'd do, because it depended on what would happen in the room as people started to develop things, whereas this particular failure, I had a set of rules that they'd follow.
Yeah.
And that's what I was focusing on. I was focusing on, I'd deliver a game that they'd follow. And that's one of the things that helped trigger off my thought that, in fact, the games don't matter. The games aren't the important bit. It's actually the play that happens when you do it. And you can't just plonk something in front of people as a game and expect to get benefits out of it, because the benefits come out of the play, and people need to be moved into the right mode of thought, the right feeling, the right emotional state.
And the design of the game itself, and the design of the game itself, you don't obsess too much about that, because that's going to take you down the wrong path.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So what do you think about playfulness in itself and that kind of attitude into your practice that enables you to learn from failure? Is there a link there that you can see that you know, that you're drawing on to develop your own practice through? I'm just asking the same question again there. Andy, what is it? Do you think there is something about the way that you approach it that enables you to learn from messing things up a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I am a librarian. I work in a team of librarians, and they often absolutely freak if things won't work, or if they suspect things won't work, because they'll say, I have one opportunity. I see these students once and that's it. So I can't fail with these students. So they tend to play things very safely, which often looks like failure to me because, you know, they just talk at them for an hour and nobody takes anything in. I try to think of it as more playful in my head, in the fact that I'm a bloody librarian talking to them. It's not rocket science. It won't matter if they ignore what I say. So I'm happy being more experimental and more playful in my approach, because what I learn from session with one group, I'll then take and adapt and build on for another group, and it will hopefully slowly get better for each group. So it doesn't matter if I have minor failures every time I teach, because I'll try and learn from those and build on them. It doesn't matter that much to the group, in that one-off group in front of me.
Well,
especially if I provide materials in different formats, so they can still
find the stuff out. Yeah, and also if they get stuck, they would still come to you. This is more a kind of preemptive, let's make sure you get things right before you have to look for anything. And this is, I'm stuck, head or get some help. So they'd still come back to you, I guess. It's not necessarily you've got one bite of the cherry. Yeah. And also, I guess, with engagement, you want to take an, if you're engaging your student and it doesn't pay off, that's better than not trying to engage them in the first place, because that will never pay off. It's like you cannot do worse than actually boring them. So try and entertain them, and if that doesn't work, you've tried something that might have worked.
And if it's a spectacular failure, they'll definitely remember me, you know, and they'll know who to go and ask for help afterwards.
So I suppose. I don't know. We were talking yesterday about the privilege of play and things like that, and I suppose the certain element that comes with having an NTF and having an experience of it, that means that if the word gets around that you ran this session and it completely fell over, you're not in any position of like, oh my God, I now have to justify my role here, because so you passed all that, which helps, I guess.
Yeah, it definitely does. And some of the people that report to me, some of the other librarians, they unnecessarily fear that they'll get pulled up if they're perceived as failing.
Yeah.
Whereas nobody ever will.
Yeah.
You know, especially if they're reporting to me and they say this hasn't quite worked. It's like,
Done for trying it. Yeah, that's already a win, really.
What have you learned? What will you do different next time? Brilliant.
Yeah, it's just a bit difficult when you're just starting off in a career, I think, to actually have that confidence that you can actually fall over and you won't get pulled up on it.
Some of the ones that fear most have been there a long time.
Oh, really?
So they're not new to it, but they perhaps still fear teaching.
Yeah.
And still think that they don't quite belong in that area.
Ah, okay. So any tips for people in general about learning from failure, about what you've gone through and how you use it that other people can adopt?
Probably the big one is the fact that nobody's going to sack you for failing the odd time. That nobody cares that much.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in HE.
Yeah.
It's nobody's going to pull you up for failing with one group.
No.
Two or 100 even. You know, it's like people will allow you space if you allow yourself space to try to be more playful.
That's really good. So how can people find you online, Twitters and socials and things?
Yeah, so
Have you had your Blue Sky invitation yet?
Oh, no. That's one too much.
So, oh, okay.
So Twitter tends to be the main thing I'm on, as Playbarian.
All one word?
Yeah, one word, Playbarian. But I tend to try and come away from it. I just haven't quite managed to find somewhere that has the same pool of people
It.
At some point, I'll move over to Mastodon, so I'm Playbarian on Mastodon Social.
Okay, cool. Right. Okay, so thank you very much. I will give you after we've finished, I'll tell you some of my own failures with running information literacy sessions, because they're way worse than the one you've just experienced. Okay, so I will now fade us out. Here we go. And we need to press the button. There we go. Press the button. So thank you, Andrew, Andy, and we will, and that's the end of, okay.